What if I told you that the most powerful people in the world share one invisible trait that has nothing to do with intelligence, wealth, or connections? What if the secret to commanding respect, making better decisions, and achieving everything you want isn't about working harder or being louder, but about mastering something so simple yet so rare that most people never even think to develop it? That trait is calm, true, unshakable, calm. And by the end of this audiobook, you will possess a level of inner control that will make you unstoppable in any situation. Right now, as you listen to this, millions of people are losing their minds over things that don't matter. They're panicking in traffic, exploding in meetings, melting down over minor setbacks, and making terrible decisions because their emotions are in the driver's seat. Meanwhile, a small percentage of people remain completely composed, thinking clearly, while others spiral and quietly, taking control of every situation they enter. These people understand a fundamental truth that the masses never learn. Calm is not the absence of stress or pressure. Calm is power. It's the ability to think clearly when everyone else is losing their minds. It's the capacity to make intelligent decisions when chaos surrounds you. It's the ultimate form of self-mastery, and it's the one skill that will set you apart from 99% of the population. This audiobook contains 21 proven techniques that will transform you from someone who reacts to life into someone who responds with precision and control. These aren't feel-good theories or temporary fixes. These are battle-tested strategies used by Navy SEALs under fire. CEOs making billion-dollar decisions, surgeons saving lives, and negotiators defusing hostage situations. You're about to learn the exact methods that separate those who crack under pressure from those who thrive in it. But here's what you need to understand. Calm isn't something you're born with or without. It's a skill. And like any skill, it can be developed, strengthened, and mastered through deliberate practice. Chapter 1. The hidden truth about calm and why most people get it wrong. Most people have a completely backwards understanding of what calm actually is. They think calm means being passive, soft, or detached from reality. They believe that staying calm means accepting whatever happens to you without fighting back or standing up for yourself. This is not only wrong, it's dangerous. True calm is not passivity. True calm is the ultimate display of strength and control. Think about the most powerful leaders throughout history. When everyone around them was panicking, they remained steady. When advisors were screaming conflicting advice, they thought clearly. When the stakes were highest and the pressure was crushing, they made the decisions that changed the course of history. This wasn't because they didn't feel stress or pressure. It was because they had trained themselves to remain functional and strategic regardless of external circumstances. The reason most people never develop this kind of calm is because they misunderstand what creates it. They think calm comes from having an easy life, from avoiding stress, or from being naturally laid back. But real calm is forged in the fire of difficult situations. It's built by repeatedly choosing control over reaction, strategy over emotion, and long-term thinking over short-term impulses. The calmest people you'll ever meet are often those who have faced the most intense situations and learned to master their internal state regardless of what's happening around them. Here's the truth that changes everything. Your external circumstances don't determine your internal state. Your internal state determines how you respond to external circumstances. And your response determines your results. Most people have this exactly backwards. They think the situation makes them calm or stressed, successful or unsuccessful, happy or miserable. But the most successful people understand that they create their own internal experience, and that internal experience shapes everything that follows when you master calm. Several things happen automatically. First, your thinking becomes clearer. Stress and anxiety cloud judgment, but calm creates the mental space for brilliant insights and strategic decisions. Second, other people begin to trust your judgment more. There's something magnetic about a person who remains composed when everyone else is falling apart. Third, you stop making the emotional mistakes that derail most people's progress. You don't send angry emails, make impulsive purchases, or burn bridges in moments of frustration. Fourth, you become incredibly efficient because you're not wasting energy on emotional reactions that don't serve you. But here's what most people don't realize. Developing this level of calm requires you to completely rewire how you think about challenging situations. Instead of seeing stress as something that happens to you, you need to see it as something you can use. Instead of viewing difficult people as problems to avoid, you need to see them as opportunities to practice your skills. Instead of hoping for easy circumstances, you need to welcome the chance to prove that nothing can shake you. This shift in perspective is the foundation of everything else you'll learn. The journey to mastering calm begins with understanding that every situation is neutral until you decide what it means. The same event can destroy one person and strengthen another depending entirely on how they choose to interpret and respond to it. Your goal is not to avoid challenging situations. Your goal is to become someone who handles any situation with grace, intelligence, and unwavering composure. Chapter 2, The Instant Reset Technique and the Power Pause Method. The first technique you must master is what I call the instant reset. This is your emergency brake for moments when you feel your composure starting to slip. The moment you notice tension building, anger rising, or anxiety creeping in, you have a choice. You can let that emotion take control and make decisions you'll regret. Or you can activate your reset and regain control before you act. Here's exactly how the instant reset works. The moment you feel any intense emotion beginning to build, you immediately do three things. First, you take one deep breath through your nose for four counts. This isn't about relaxation, it's about buying yourself time and activating your parasympathetic nervous system. Second, you consciously relax your jaw, shoulders, and hands. Most people don't realize how much physical tension they carry, and this tension feeds emotional intensity. Third, you ask yourself one simple question. What would the calmest version of myself do? Right now, this entire process takes less than 10 seconds, but it creates a crucial gap between stimulus and response. In that gap, you regain access to your higher brain functions. You remember your long-term goals. You consider the consequences of different actions. You choose your response instead of being controlled by your reaction. The key is to practice this technique during low-stakes situations so it becomes automatic during high-stakes moments. Most people wait until they're already overwhelmed to try to calm down. But that's like trying to stop a speeding car by jumping in front of it. The instant reset works because you're catching the emotion early before it builds momentum. You're creating a pattern interrupt that stops the emotional escalation before it takes over your decision-making process. The second technique is the power pause method. This is different from the instant reset because you use it proactively in situations where you know tension is likely to arise before entering any challenging conversation, high-pressure situation, or potentially emotional encounter. You take a moment to set your internal state. Here's how the power pause works. Before you walk into that difficult meeting, before you answer that challenging phone call, before you have that confrontation you've been avoiding, you pause for 30 seconds. During this pause, you do four specific things. First, you visualize yourself handling the situation with complete calm and control. You see yourself responding thoughtfully rather than reacting emotionally. Second, you remind yourself of your ultimate goal for this interaction. What do you actually want to achieve? Third, you consciously adopt the physiology of calm. You stand tall, breathe deeply, and relax your facial muscles. Fourth, you choose your identity for this interaction. Are you going to be the person who gets defensive and emotional, or are you going to be the person who remains strategic and composed? The power pause method is incredibly effective because it programs your nervous system for the interaction before it begins. Instead of hoping you'll stay calm during a difficult situation, you're actually training your brain to default to calm responses. You're setting the tone internally before the external situation has a chance to dictate your emotional state. Professional negotiators, elite athletes, and successful leaders use versions of this technique constantly. They understand that how you enter a situation largely determines how you'll perform in it. If you walk into a challenging situation already wound up and reactive, you'll struggle to think clearly or make good decisions. But if you enter with your nervous system already calibrated for calm strategic thinking, you'll perform at a much higher level. The combination of these two techniques gives you both reactive and proactive calm. The instant reset saves you when emotions spike unexpectedly. The power pause method prevents emotional spikes from happening in the first place. Together, They create a foundation of emotional control that makes you incredibly difficult to throw off balance. Practice both of these techniques daily. Starting with low-pressure situations. Use the instant reset when you're stuck in traffic. When someone cuts in line, or when technology isn't working properly, use the power pause method before phone calls, meetings, or any interaction that could become tense. The more you practice during calm moments, the more automatically these techniques will activate during stressful ones. Chapter 3, The Perspective Shift Strategy and the Emotional Labeling Technique. The third technique is the perspective shift strategy, and it's one of the most powerful tools for maintaining calm because it changes how you interpret situations at the deepest level. Most people lose their composure not because of what's actually happening but because of what they think the situation means about them, their future, or their worth. The perspective shift strategy teaches you to question your initial interpretation and choose a more empowering way to view the situation. Here's how it works. When something happens that typically would upset you, instead of immediately reacting to your first interpretation, you ask yourself three specific questions. First, how could this situation actually be helping me in some way I don't see yet? This question forces your brain to look for benefits and opportunities instead of focusing only on problems. Second, what would someone I deeply respect think about this situation? This question helps you step outside your emotional reaction and consider wiser perspectives. Third, how will this matter in 5 years? This question puts the situation in proper context and prevents you from overreacting to temporary challenges. Let me give you an example of how this works in practice. Imagine your boss criticizes your work in front of the entire team. Your initial interpretation might be that this is humiliating, unfair, and a sign that your job is in jeopardy. That interpretation will trigger anger, embarrassment, or anxiety. But using the perspective shift strategy, you ask the three questions. How could this help me? Maybe it's highlighting a blind spot I needed to see. Or maybe it's showing me exactly what standards I need to meet to advance. What would someone I respect think? They might see this as valuable feedback delivered poorly or as an opportunity to demonstrate professionalism under pressure. How will this matter in 5 years? In 5 years, you probably won't even remember this moment. But the skills you develop in handling it will serve you for decades. The perspective shift strategy doesn't mean denying reality or pretending everything is perfect. It means choosing to focus on the aspects of the situation that empower you rather than the aspects that drain your energy. It means looking for the strategic response rather than the emotional reaction. It means remembering that every situation contains multiple possible meanings and you get to choose which meaning you focus on. The fourth technique is the emotional labeling technique, and it's based on cutting-edge neuroscience research showing that simply naming your emotions reduces their intensity and gives you more control over them. When you feel a strong emotion rising instead of being overwhelmed by it or trying to push it away, you acknowledge it specifically and neutrally. Here's the process. The moment you notice a strong emotion, you mentally or quietly say, "I'm noticing anger." Or, "I'm noticing anxiety," or "I'm noticing frustration." You don't say, "I am angry" or "I am anxious." You say, "I'm noticing the emotion." This subtle difference is crucial. Because it creates distance between you and the emotion. It reminds you that you are not the emotion. You are the one observing the emotion. After labeling the emotion, you rate its intensity on a scale from 1 to 10. This serves two purposes. First, it engages the rational part of your brain, which naturally calms the emotional part. Second, it gives you perspective on whether this emotion is proportional to the situation. Often, you'll realize that what felt overwhelming is actually only a 4 or 5 out of 10, which makes it much more manageable. The final step is to ask yourself, what is this emotion trying to tell me? Emotions aren't random, they're information. Anger often signals that a boundary has been crossed or that something important to you is being threatened. Anxiety often signals that you need to prepare for something or that you're facing uncertainty. Fear often signals potential danger or that you're stepping outside your comfort zone in a way that requires caution. Instead of seeing emotions as problems to eliminate, you start seeing them as data to consider. The emotional labeling technique is powerful because it transforms your relationship with emotions from victimhood to partnership. Instead of being controlled by emotions, you're gathering information from them. Instead of fighting emotions or being overwhelmed by them, you're acknowledging them and then deciding how to respond strategically. Professional therapists, hostage negotiators, and high-performance coaches all use variations of emotional labeling because it's so effective at creating calm in intense situations. When you can name what you're feeling and understand why you're feeling it, the emotion loses its power to control your behavior. You maintain access to your strategic thinking even in emotional situations. Combine the perspective shift strategy with the emotional labeling technique and you have a powerful system for maintaining calm regardless of what's happening around you. You're simultaneously reframing situations in empowering ways and managing your emotional responses with precision. This combination makes you nearly unshakable because you're addressing both the mental and emotional aspects of staying calm under pressure. Chapter 4. The Breathing Control Method and the Physical Grounding Technique. The fifth technique is the breathing control method and it's the fastest way to shift your nervous system from stress to calm in real time. Most people breathe incorrectly their entire lives, especially during stressful situations, which actually amplifies anxiety and reduces mental clarity. When you master conscious breathing, you gain direct control over your stress response and can calm yourself within minutes, regardless of external circumstances. Here's the specific breathing pattern that activates your body's natural relaxation response. It's called the 478 technique and it's based on ancient practices that have been validated by modern neuroscience. You inhale through your nose for a count of 4, hold your breath for a count of 7, then exhale through your mouth for a count of 8. You repeat this cycle 4 times. The exhale being longer than the inhale is crucial because it activates your parasympathetic nervous system, which is responsible for the rest and digest response that counteracts stress. But here's what most people get wrong about breathing techniques. They only use them when they're already stressed. Professional performers use breathing proactively. They use it before important presentations, challenging conversations, or high-stakes decisions. They understand that controlling your breathing before you need calm is far more effective than trying to calm down after you're already agitated. The key to making breathing work for you is understanding the physiology behind it. When you're stressed, your breathing becomes shallow and rapid, which signals to your brain that you're in danger. This triggers the release of stress hormones and makes it harder to think clearly. But when you consciously slow down and deepen your breathing, you're sending the opposite signal. You're telling your brain that you're safe and in control, which allows it to shift into a calmer, more strategic mode. Advanced practitioners take this even further with what I call combat breathing. This is a technique used by military personnel, emergency responders, and anyone who needs to maintain peak performance under extreme pressure. The pattern is simple: inhale for 4 counts, hold for 4 counts, exhale for 4 counts, hold empty for 4 counts, then repeat. What makes this different is that you practice it regularly during calm moments. So it becomes automatic during stressful ones. The sixth technique is the physical grounding technique, which uses your body to anchor your mind in the present moment and prevent anxiety or overwhelm from spiraling out of control. When your mind starts racing with worst-case scenarios or your emotions become intense, grounding brings you back to immediate physical reality where you can think clearly and make good decisions. The most effective grounding technique is the 5-4-3-2-1 method. You identify 5 things you can see, 4 things you can touch, 3 things you can hear, 2 things you can smell, and 1 thing you can taste. This forces your attention away from internal anxiety and onto immediate sensory experience. It's impossible to be completely lost in emotional overwhelm while you're actively engaging your senses with the present environment. But physical grounding goes beyond just sensory awareness. It also includes what I call power positioning. Your physical posture directly affects your mental state. When you stand tall, pull your shoulders back and breathe deeply. You're not just looking confident, you're actually changing your brain chemistry. This posture increases testosterone and decreases cortisol, making you feel more powerful and less stressed. Conversely, when you slouch, hunch your shoulders, or make yourself small, you increase stress hormones and decrease confidence hormones. Here's how to use power positioning strategically. Before any challenging situation, take 2 minutes to stand in a posture of confidence. Plant your feet firmly on the ground. Straighten your spine. Pull your shoulders back and lift your chin slightly. Put your hands on your hips or raise them above your head in a victory pose. Breathe deeply and consciously embody the feeling of being powerful and in control. This isn't about pretending to be confident. It's about using your body to create the brain chemistry that supports genuine confidence. The physical grounding technique also includes progressive muscle relaxation, which helps you release physical tension that feeds emotional intensity. Starting with your toes, you consciously tense each muscle group for 5 seconds. Then release and notice the contrast. You work your way up through your legs, torso, arms, and face. This process accomplishes 2 things. It makes you aware of how much tension you're carrying, and it teaches you how to consciously release that tension. Professional athletes use versions of these techniques constantly because they understand the mind-body connection. They know that physical tension creates mental tension and that controlling their physiology is often the fastest way to control their psychology. When your body is grounded and relaxed, your mind automatically becomes calmer and clearer. The combination of breathing control and physical grounding gives you 2 powerful tools for managing your nervous system. Breathing works from the inside out, changing your internal chemistry to create calm. Physical grounding works from the outside in, using your body and environment to stabilize your mind. Together they create a comprehensive system for maintaining composure. Regardless of external pressure, practice these techniques daily, not just during stressful moments. The goal is to make conscious breathing and physical awareness habits that happen automatically when you need them most. When you can control your breath and your body, you can control your response to any situation. Chapter 5. The Mental Rehearsal System and the Worst Case Scenario Planning Method. The 7th technique is the Mental Rehearsal System, which is how you program your mind for calm responses before challenging situations occur. Elite performers in every field use mental rehearsal because they understand a fundamental truth. Your brain doesn't distinguish between vividly imagined experiences and real ones. When you repeatedly visualize yourself handling difficult situations with calm and control, you're literally training your nervous system to default to those responses when the real situations arise. Here's how to implement the mental rehearsal system effectively. First, identify the types of situations that typically challenge your calm. These might include confrontational meetings, public speaking, receiving criticism, dealing with aggressive people, or handling unexpected crises. For each type of situation, you create a detailed mental rehearsal where you see yourself responding perfectly. The key to effective mental rehearsal is specificity and sensory detail. Don't just imagine yourself staying calm in general terms. Create a specific scenario and walk through it step by step. See the environment clearly. Hear the sounds and voices. Feel your body remaining relaxed and grounded. Watch yourself breathing deeply, speaking thoughtfully, and making strategic decisions. See other people's reactions to your calm, confident presence. Experience the feeling of being completely in control regardless of external pressure. But here's where most people make a mistake with visualization. They only imagine perfect scenarios where everything goes smoothly. Professional mental rehearsal includes obstacles and setbacks. You imagine the difficult person becoming even more aggressive and you see yourself remaining calm. You visualize unexpected complications arising and you watch yourself adapting smoothly. You rehearse the most challenging variations of the situation so that when the real thing happens, you're prepared for anything. The mental rehearsal system works because of neuroplasticity. Your brain's ability to rewire itself based on repeated patterns. Every time you vividly imagine yourself handling a situation with calm and skill, you're strengthening the neural pathways that support those behaviors. You're making calm responses more likely and emotional reactions less likely. You're programming yourself for success before the situation even occurs. Advanced practitioners use what I call progressive mental rehearsal. They start by visualizing themselves succeeding in mildly challenging situations, then gradually increase the difficulty of the scenarios they rehearse. This builds confidence and competence progressively so that by the time they face truly difficult situations, they've already succeeded in their minds hundreds of times. The 8th technique is the worst case scenario planning method, and it's the opposite of what most people expect. Instead of avoiding thoughts about what could go wrong, you deliberately think through worst-case scenarios in a structured, strategic way. This technique eliminates anxiety by removing uncertainty and giving you concrete plans for handling anything that might happen. Here's how worst-case scenario planning works. For any situation that's causing you stress or anxiety, you ask yourself three questions. First, what's the absolute worst thing that could realistically happen? Second, what would you do if that worst case scenario actually occurred? Third, what's the probability that this worst case scenario will actually happen? Most anxiety comes from uncertainty and the feeling that you'd be helpless if things went wrong. But when you've thought through the worst possibilities and created plans for handling them, you eliminate both uncertainty and helplessness. You realize that even the worst-case scenarios are manageable and that you have more resilience and options than you initially thought. Let me give you an example. Suppose you're anxious about giving a presentation to important clients. The worst-case scenario might be that you completely freeze up, forget everything you wanted to say, and lose the account. Using this technique, you'd plan exactly what you'd do if that happened. You might prepare backup notes, practice recovering from mistakes, identify alternative ways to engage the audience, and even prepare a graceful way to acknowledge nervousness if it occurs. You'd also realize that the probability of completely freezing is very low, especially if you're prepared. The power of this technique is that it transforms vague anxiety into concrete planning. Instead of your mind spinning with undefined fears, you're engaging your strategic thinking to solve specific problems. Instead of feeling helpless, you're creating a sense of control and preparedness. Instead of avoiding thoughts about what could go wrong, you're using those thoughts to make yourself stronger and more resilient. Professional risk managers, military strategists, and successful entrepreneurs all use versions of worst-case scenario planning because it's so effective at reducing anxiety and increasing actual preparedness. They understand that thinking through problems before they occur is much easier than trying to solve them in the moment while under pressure. The worst case scenario planning method also includes what I call the 10-10 rule. For any situation that's causing stress, you ask, how will I feel about this in 10 minutes? How will I feel about this in 10 months? How will I feel about this in 10 years? This puts the situation in proper perspective and prevents you from overreacting to temporary challenges. When you combine mental rehearsal with worst case scenario planning, you create a comprehensive system for mental preparedness. Mental rehearsal programs you for success while worst-case planning prepares you for challenges. You're training your mind to expect success while simultaneously building resilience for setbacks. This combination creates a deep sense of calm confidence because you know you're prepared for anything. The key is to practice both techniques regularly, not just when facing major challenges. Spend a few minutes each day mentally rehearsing yourself succeeding in upcoming situations. Spend a few minutes thinking through potential obstacles and creating plans for overcoming them. This daily practice builds a foundation of mental preparedness that serves you in every area of life. Chapter 6, The Emotional Firewall Technique and the Energy Management System. The ninth technique is the Emotional Firewall Technique, and it's your defense against other people's emotional chaos. One of the biggest challenges to maintaining calm is that emotions are contagious. When someone around you is panicking, angry, or overwhelmed, their emotional state can unconsciously trigger similar responses in you. The emotional firewall creates a protective barrier that allows you to remain centered even when surrounded by emotional turbulence. Here's how the emotional firewall works. Before entering any situation where you might encounter intense emotions from others, you consciously create a mental boundary around yourself. Imagine a protective shield or bubble surrounding your entire body. This isn't just visualization, it's a psychological technique that prepares your nervous system to maintain its own state regardless of external emotional influences. The key to making this firewall effective is understanding the difference between empathy and emotional absorption. Empathy means understanding and caring about what others are feeling without taking on their emotions as your own. Emotional absorption means unconsciously matching other people's emotional states, which destroys your ability to help them or think clearly. The firewall allows you to remain empathetic while staying emotionally independent. When someone is expressing intense emotion around you, instead of automatically matching their energy level, you consciously choose to remain at your optimal emotional state. If they're shouting, you speak more quietly. If they're moving frantically, you move more deliberately. If they're speaking rapidly, you speak more slowly. This isn't about being cold or uncaring. It's about providing stability and leadership in an emotionally chaotic situation. Professional counselors, hostage negotiators, and emergency responders all use versions of the emotional firewall because they understand that they can't help anyone if they become emotionally overwhelmed themselves. They maintain compassion and understanding while preserving their ability to think strategically and respond effectively. The advanced version of this technique involves what I call emotional Aikido. Instead of resisting other people's intense emotions, you acknowledge them and redirect them. When someone is angry, you say something like, "I can see this is really important to you and I want to understand your perspective." When someone is panicking, you say, "This situation is definitely concerning, and I think we can work through it step by step." You're validating their emotional experience while redirecting the interaction toward problem solving rather than emotional escalation. The 10th technique is the energy management system, which is based on the understanding that your emotional state is directly connected to your physical and mental energy levels. When your energy is depleted, you become much more susceptible to stress, irritation, and emotional reactivity. When your energy is optimized, maintaining calm becomes effortless even in challenging situations. Energy management begins with recognizing that different activities either charge your batteries or drain them. High-drain activities include dealing with difficult people, making complex decisions, processing negative information, or forcing yourself to do things you hate. High-charge activities include doing work you find meaningful, spending time with positive people, engaging in physical exercise, or practicing skills you enjoy developing. The key insight is that most people manage their time but ignore their energy. They schedule back-to-back meetings with difficult people, spend hours consuming negative news, and wonder why they feel overwhelmed and reactive by the end of the day. Energy-aware individuals structure their days to maintain optimal energy levels, which makes calm responses natural rather than forced. Here's how to implement the energy management system. First, you audit your typical day and identify which activities drain your energy and which ones restore it. Second, you structure your schedule to include energy-restoring activities between energy-draining ones. If you have a difficult meeting, you schedule time afterward for something that recharges you. Third, you protect your peak energy hours for your most important and challenging tasks when your natural calm and focus are strongest. The energy management system also includes what I call energy boundaries. These are limits you set to protect your mental and emotional resources. You might limit how much news you consume, how long you spend on social media, or how much time you spend with people who consistently drain your energy. This isn't about avoiding reality. It's about managing your inputs so you have the resources needed to handle challenges effectively. Physical energy management is equally important. Regular exercise doesn't just improve your health. It increases your stress tolerance and emotional resilience. Proper nutrition provides stable energy rather than the spikes and crashes that make emotional control difficult. Adequate sleep ensures that your brain has the resources needed for self-regulation and strategic thinking. Advanced energy management includes understanding your natural rhythms. Most people have predictable patterns of when they feel most alert, creative, or social. By aligning your most challenging tasks with your natural high-energy periods and your routine tasks with your natural low-energy periods, you can maintain optimal performance with less effort. The combination of the emotional firewall and energy management system creates a comprehensive defense against emotional overwhelm. The firewall protects you from other people's chaotic emotional states, while energy management ensures you have the internal resources needed to maintain calm consistently. Together, they make you nearly immune to the emotional turbulence that destroys most people's composure and decision-making ability. Chapter 7, The Verbal De-escalation Method and the Strategic Silence Technique. The 11th technique is the verbal de-escalation method, which gives you the power to calm down aggressive or hostile people while maintaining your own composure. This is one of the most valuable skills you can develop because it allows you to transform potentially explosive situations into productive conversations. Instead of avoiding difficult people or getting drawn into conflicts, you become someone who can diffuse tension and guide interactions toward positive outcomes. The foundation of verbal de-escalation is understanding what drives aggressive behavior. Most aggression comes from fear, frustration, or feeling unheard and unimportant. When someone is attacking you verbally, they're usually not really attacking you personally. They're expressing their own emotional distress in the only way they know how. This understanding allows you to respond to their underlying need. Rather than reacting to their aggressive behavior, here's the specific verbal de-escalation process. First, you lower your voice. Rather than matching their volume, loud voices trigger fight or flight responses and escalate conflict. Quiet voices force people to calm down slightly in order to hear you. Second, you slow down your speech pattern. Rapid speech conveys anxiety and urgency while slower speech conveys confidence and control. Third, you acknowledge their emotion without agreeing with their behavior. You might say, "I can see you're really frustrated about this." Or, "It sounds like this situation is really important to you." The fourth step is to ask questions instead of making statements. Questions engage the rational part of their brain and give them a chance to feel heard. Instead of defending yourself or arguing with their points, you ask things like, "Help me understand what would work better for you or what would need to happen for you to feel good about this situation." Questions shift the dynamic from conflict to collaboration. The fifth step is to find something you can genuinely agree with, even if it's small. This creates a foundation of common ground that you can build on. You might agree that the situation is frustrating, that their concerns are understandable, or that finding a solution is important. This agreement doesn't mean you're accepting blame or giving up your position. It means you're creating connection instead of division. Professional mediators and customer service experts use these techniques because they understand that people can't think clearly when they're emotionally activated. By helping someone calm down, you're not just making the interaction more pleasant. You're making it more productive. You're creating conditions where actual problem solving can occur instead of just emotional venting. The advanced version of verbal de-escalation includes what I call the empathy bridge. This is where you explicitly acknowledge the other person's perspective and feelings before presenting your own. You might say something like, "I understand why this would be frustrating from your position, and I think there might be a way to address your concerns while also handling the constraints I'm working with." This approach makes people feel heard and understood, which dramatically reduces their need to be aggressive. The 12th technique is the strategic silence technique, and it's one of the most powerful tools for maintaining control in any conversation while giving yourself time to think and respond strategically. Most people are uncomfortable with silence and will rush to fill it, often revealing information or making concessions they hadn't planned to make. When you master strategic silence, you gain access to information and influence that most people never discover. Here's how strategic silence works in practice. When someone asks you a difficult question instead of immediately responding, you pause for 3 to 5 seconds while you consider your response. This pause serves multiple purposes. It shows that you're taking their question seriously. It gives you time to think of the best possible answer, and it often makes them elaborate on their question, giving you more information to work with. Strategic silence is also powerful when someone makes a statement that you disagree with or that seems designed to provoke a reaction. Instead of immediately arguing or defending yourself, you remain silent and wait to see if they'll clarify, modify, or back down from their statement. Often, people will moderate their own extreme positions when they're not getting the resistance they expected. In negotiations, strategic silence is incredibly effective after making an offer or hearing a counteroffer. The person who speaks first after an offer is made is usually the one who makes the next concession. By remaining comfortably silent, you put subtle pressure on the other party to improve their offer or accept yours. But here's what most people get wrong about silence. They make it awkward instead of strategic. Strategic silence is calm and comfortable, not tense or aggressive. You maintain eye contact, keep your posture relaxed, and convey through your body language that you're thoughtfully considering what's been said. You're not using silence to punish or manipulate. You're using it to create space for better thinking and communication. The key to mastering strategic silence is becoming comfortable with pauses in conversation. Most people have been conditioned to fill every moment with words. But the most influential communicators understand that what you don't say is often more powerful than what you do say. They use silence to create emphasis to encourage others to reveal more information and to give themselves time to craft the most effective responses. Advanced practitioners use what I call purposeful pausing throughout their conversations. They pause before answering questions to show they're considering thoughtfully. They pause after making important points to let them sink in. They pause when they sense the other person wants to say more but hasn't finished their thought. These pauses make them appear more thoughtful, more confident, and more in control of the conversation. Strategic silence also works beautifully with the verbal de-escalation techniques. When someone is being aggressive, sometimes the best response is calm, patient silence. This silence often makes them realize how they sound and naturally causes them to moderate their tone. It also gives them space to move from emotional venting to actual communication. The combination of verbal de-escalation and strategic silence makes you incredibly effective in difficult conversations. You can calm down aggressive people while gathering information and maintaining control of the interaction. You become someone who can handle any personality type and turn potential conflicts into productive discussions. Chapter 8, The Pressure Performance Protocol and the High Stakes Decision Matrix. The 13th technique is the Pressure Performance Protocol, which is designed specifically for situations where the stakes are high and everyone is watching. These are the moments that define careers and relationships. The important presentation, the crucial negotiation, the emergency that requires immediate leadership, the confrontation that's been building for months. Most people perform worse under pressure, but with the right protocol, you can actually perform better when the stakes are highest. The pressure performance protocol begins with reframing what pressure actually means. Most people see pressure as something negative that makes everything harder. But pressure is actually concentrated importance. The situation matters more, which means your performance has more impact. Instead of seeing pressure as a threat, you learn to see it as an opportunity to demonstrate your capabilities when it counts most. Here's the specific protocol for high-pressure performance. First, you acknowledge the importance of the situation without catastrophizing it. You might think this presentation is important for my career rather than if I mess this up, I'm doomed. This keeps you motivated without triggering overwhelming anxiety. Second, you focus on your preparation rather than worrying about outcomes you can't control. Instead of thinking about whether people will like your ideas, you focus on delivering those ideas clearly and confidently. Instead of worrying about whether you'll get the promotion, you focus on demonstrating the qualities that merit promotion. Third, you use pressure as fuel for heightened focus and energy. When you feel your heart rate increase and your awareness sharpen, instead of interpreting these as signs of panic, you recognize them as signs that your body is preparing for peak performance. You're more alert, more focused, and more capable than usual. Fourth, you slow down your decision-making process slightly under pressure. Most people rush and make careless mistakes. But when you consciously slow down just enough to think clearly while maintaining decisive action, you make better decisions than people who aren't under pressure because your heightened awareness allows you to process more information. The pressure performance protocol also includes what I call the champion's mindset. This is where you consciously adopt the identity of someone who thrives under pressure rather than someone who suffers from it. Champions in every field share a common characteristic. They get excited when the stakes are high because they know that's when they can separate themselves from the competition. Professional athletes, surgeons, and military leaders all use versions of pressure protocols because they understand that pressure situations require different mental strategies than routine situations. They train specifically for high-pressure performance, not just general performance. Advanced pressure performance includes developing what I call clutch confidence. This is the ability to access your best skills and clearest thinking precisely when you need them most. You build clutch confidence by deliberately practicing important skills under artificially created pressure. If you need to give presentations, you practice in front of critical audiences. If you need to make decisions quickly, you practice making decisions with time, constraints, and distractions. The 14th technique is the high-stakes decision matrix, which gives you a systematic way to make excellent decisions even when you're under intense pressure and time constraints. Most people make poor decisions under pressure because they either overthink and become paralyzed or they act impulsively without considering consequences. The decision matrix gives you a middle path that's both fast and thorough. Here's how the high-stakes decision matrix works. When facing any important decision under pressure, you quickly evaluate four key factors. First, what are the potential upsides of each option? What's the best thing that could happen if this choice works out well? Second, what are the potential downsides of each option? What's the worst realistic consequence if this choice doesn't work out? Third, what's the probability of success for each option based on your knowledge and experience? Fourth, how reversible is each option? Can you change course if you get new information? This matrix prevents you from making decisions based purely on emotion or limited information. It forces you to consider multiple perspectives quickly while maintaining strategic thinking under pressure. Most importantly, it prevents analysis paralysis by giving you a clear framework for moving forward even with imperfect information. The high-stakes decision matrix also includes what I call the regret minimization framework for any major decision. You ask yourself, which choice will I be least likely to regret in 10 years? This question cuts through short-term fears and focuses your attention on long-term satisfaction and growth. Advanced decision-making under pressure includes developing your intuition through experience and pattern recognition. The more high-pressure decisions you make thoughtfully, the better your unconscious mind becomes at processing complex information quickly. What feels like gut instinct is actually your brain's ability to process patterns and information faster than your conscious mind can analyze them. But here's the key to both pressure performance and high-stakes decision-making. You must practice these skills during low-pressure situations. The middle of a crisis is not the time to learn new techniques. You develop these capabilities during calm periods so they're available when you need them most. Professional emergency responders understand this principle completely. They drill extensively during routine times so that their best responses become automatic during emergencies. They don't hope they'll perform well under pressure. They ensure it through systematic preparation. The combination of the pressure performance protocol and the high-stakes decision matrix makes you someone who actually gets better when things get harder. While others are cracking under pressure and making poor decisions, you're accessing your highest capabilities and making choices that serve you well long after the immediate pressure has passed. Chapter 9, The Cognitive Restructuring Method and the Emotional ISIDO System. The 15th technique is the cognitive restructuring method, which teaches you to identify and change the thinking patterns that create unnecessary stress and emotional reactivity. Most people don't realize that their emotional reactions are largely determined by their interpretation of events rather than the events themselves. Two people can experience the same situation and have completely different emotional responses based entirely on how they think about what happened. Cognitive restructuring begins with recognizing what psychologists call cognitive distortions. These are systematic thinking errors that make situations seem worse than they actually are and trigger unnecessary emotional distress. The most common cognitive distortions include all or no thinking, where you see situations in absolute terms without recognizing middle ground. Catastrophizing, where you immediately jump to worst-case scenarios. Mindreading, where you assume you know what others are thinking. And personalization, where you take responsibility for things that aren't actually your fault. Here's how to implement cognitive restructuring in real time. When you notice yourself having a strong emotional reaction to something, you pause and ask yourself three questions. First, what exactly am I thinking about this situation? You identify the specific thoughts that are creating your emotional response. Second, is this thought accurate and helpful? You examine whether your interpretation is based on facts or assumptions and whether this way of thinking serves you. Third, what's a more accurate and empowering way to think about this? Let me give you a specific example. Suppose your boss doesn't respond to an important email you sent 2 days ago. Your initial thought might be, "He's ignoring me because he's not happy with my work and I'm probably going to get fired." This thought will trigger anxiety and stress. Using cognitive restructuring, you recognize this as mind readapting and catastrophizing. A more accurate thought might be, "He's probably busy with other priorities, and I can follow up politely to make sure he received it." This interpretation creates calm action rather than anxious worry. The power of cognitive restructuring is that it addresses stress and emotional reactivity at their source. Instead of trying to calm down after you're already upset, you're preventing the upset from occurring in the first place by thinking more accurately about situations. You're training your mind to interpret events in ways that serve your goals rather than creating unnecessary drama and distress. Advanced cognitive restructuring includes what I call the evidence examination technique. When you notice yourself thinking something that creates stress, you ask, "What evidence do I have that this thought is true? What evidence do I have that it might not be true? What would I tell a friend who was thinking this way about their situation?" This process helps you step outside your emotional reaction and evaluate your thoughts objectively. Professional cognitive behavioral therapists use these techniques because they're incredibly effective at reducing anxiety, depression, and emotional reactivity. The techniques work because they address the root cause of most emotional distress, inaccurate and unhelpful thinking patterns. The 16th technique is the emotional Aikido system, which teaches you to handle emotional attacks and manipulative behavior without becoming defensive or aggressive. Just as physical Aikido uses an attacker's energy and momentum against them, emotional Aikido allows you to deflect emotional attacks while maintaining your composure and often turning the situation to your advantage. Emotional Aikido begins with understanding the difference between someone who's expressing genuine emotion and someone who's trying to manipulate or control you through emotional displays. Genuine emotion deserves empathy and support. Emotional manipulation deserves strategic response that doesn't reward the manipulative behavior. Here's how emotional Aikido works in practice. When someone is being emotionally manipulative, trying to make you feel guilty, or attempting to control you through anger or tears, you don't resist their emotional energy directly. Instead, you acknowledge their emotion while redirecting toward problem solving. You might say something like, "I can see you're upset about this. What specifically would you like me to do differently? Or it sounds like this situation isn't working for you. What would work better?" This approach accomplishes several things simultaneously. It shows that you care about their emotional experience without taking responsibility for causing it. It moves the conversation from emotional venting to practical solutions. It puts the responsibility back on them to communicate clearly rather than trying to control you through emotional displays. The key principle of emotional Aikido is that you never try to fight someone's emotion directly, but you also don't allow their emotion to control your behavior. You remain empathetic and caring while maintaining clear boundaries about what you will and won't do. You support their right to feel whatever they're feeling while protecting your right to make your own decisions. Advanced emotional Aikido includes what I call the validation and redirect technique. You validate their emotional experience while redirecting their energy toward constructive action. For example, if someone says, "You never listen to me and you don't care about what I think," instead of defending yourself or arguing, you might respond, "It sounds like you don't feel heard, and that's important to me. Help me understand what specifically I should be listening to better." This response validates their feeling of not being heard without accepting blame for not caring. It redirects their energy from accusation to education. It shows that you want to understand and improve without admitting fault for past behavior. Most importantly, it maintains your emotional equilibrium while addressing their genuine concerns. Professional negotiators, therapists, and leaders use emotional Aikido because it allows them to handle difficult personalities and emotionally charged situations without getting pulled into drama or conflict. They maintain their effectiveness and composure while still showing appropriate care and concern for others. The combination of cognitive restructuring and emotional Aikido gives you comprehensive tools for managing both your internal emotional responses and external emotional challenges from other people. You can think more clearly about situations while handling emotional attacks and manipulation with grace and effectiveness. This combination makes you nearly immune to the emotional chaos that derails most people's success and happiness. Chapter 10. The Stress Inoculation Training and the Calm Mastery Integration Protocol. The 17th technique is stress inoculation training, which is based on the medical principle that exposure to small amounts of stress actually makes you more resistant to larger amounts of stress later. Just as vaccines work by exposing your immune system to weakened versions of diseases, stress inoculation works by deliberately exposing yourself to manageable levels of stress. so you build resilience for more challenging situations. Most people try to avoid stress completely, which actually makes them more vulnerable when unavoidable stress occurs. They live in comfort zones and then feel overwhelmed when life inevitably presents challenges. Stress inoculation training takes the opposite approach. You systematically expose yourself to controlled stress so that real-world stress feels manageable by comparison. Here's how to implement stress inoculation training safely and effectively. You identify situations that cause you mild to moderate stress. Then deliberately seek out those situations while practicing your calm techniques. If public speaking makes you nervous, you volunteer for more speaking opportunities. If confrontation makes you uncomfortable, you practice having difficult conversations. If time pressure stresses you out, you create artificial deadlines for yourself. The key is to gradually increase the intensity of stress exposure while maintaining your ability to stay calm and think clearly. You start with situations that feel manageable and work your way up to more challenging scenarios. This builds confidence and competence progressively so that when you face genuinely difficult situations, they feel familiar rather than overwhelming. Stress inoculation training also includes what I call adversity simulation. This is where you deliberately create challenging conditions to practice your skills. Military units train in harsh weather, difficult terrain, and sleep-deprived conditions so that actual combat feels manageable. Business leaders practice making decisions with incomplete information and time constraints so that real crises don't overwhelm them. You can apply this principle by practicing your important skills under artificially challenging conditions. If you need to give presentations, practice while distracted or interrupted. If you need to make decisions under pressure, practice making choices with artificial time limits. If you need to handle difficult people, role-play conversations with someone who's being deliberately challenging. Professional performers in every field use stress inoculation because they understand that you can't develop stress tolerance without actually experiencing stress. Athletes train harder than they'll ever need to compete. Musicians practice their most difficult pieces until they become automatic. Surgeons practice procedures until they can perform them under the most challenging conditions. The advanced version of stress inoculation training includes developing what I call stress curiosity. Instead of dreading challenging situations, you become genuinely curious about how you'll handle them. You start seeing stress as information about what you need to develop further and as opportunities to demonstrate your growing capabilities. The 18th technique is the Calm Mastery Integration Protocol, which teaches you how to weave all these calm techniques into a comprehensive system that works automatically in your daily life. Having individual techniques is valuable. But true mastery comes when these techniques become integrated patterns of thinking and responding that happen naturally without conscious effort. The integration protocol begins with what I call the calm assessment. You honestly evaluate which types of situations still challenge your composure and which calm techniques work best for you in different contexts. Some techniques will feel natural and effective immediately, while others will require more practice to become automatic. The goal is to create a personalized system that matches your specific needs and challenges. Here's how to structure your integration protocol. First, you identify your three most common calm challenges. These might be dealing with criticism, handling unexpected problems, managing time pressure, or interacting with difficult personalities. Second, you select the three techniques that are most effective for each challenge. This gives you a toolkit of 9 specific techniques that address your most frequent needs. Third, you create what I call trigger practices. These are specific situations or feelings that automatically remind you to activate your calm techniques. For example, whenever you feel your jaw tensing, you automatically do the instant reset. Whenever you walk into a potentially challenging meeting, you automatically activate the power pause method. Whenever someone raises their voice, you automatically implement the emotional firewall. The integration protocol also includes developing your personal calm mantras. These are specific phrases or concepts that instantly access your calm state. They might be reminders like "I choose my response" or "this is an opportunity to practice" or "calm is my competitive advantage." The key is to choose mantras that feel authentic and powerful to you. Then use them consistently until they automatically trigger calm responses. Advanced integration includes what I call the calm leadership mindset. This is where you start seeing yourself not just as someone who stays calm for your own benefit but as someone who brings calm to others. You become a stabilizing influence in your family, workplace and social circles. People start coming to you when they need level-headed advice or when situations become chaotic. The ultimate goal of the integration protocol is to reach what I call automatic calm. This is where staying composed becomes your default response to challenging situations. You don't have to remember to use techniques or force yourself to stay calm. Your nervous system has been trained to maintain equilibrium regardless of external circumstances. Professional first responders, elite military units, and top performers in high-pressure careers all demonstrate automatic calm. They've trained their stress response system so thoroughly that they naturally access their best thinking and decision-making abilities even in extreme situations. The key to successful integration is consistent practice across all areas of your life. Not just during major challenges. You use these techniques when dealing with minor inconveniences like traffic or technology problems. You practice them during routine interactions that have no significant stakes. This daily practice builds the neural pathways that make calm responses automatic. When they really matter. The combination of stress inoculation training and the Calm Mastery Integration Protocol transforms you from someone who occasionally uses calm techniques into someone who embodies calm as a core aspect of their personality and capabilities. You become genuinely unshakable because your nervous system has been systematically trained for composure under any conditions. Chapter 11, The Identity Shift Method and the Preemptive Calm Strategy. The 19th technique is the Identity Shift Method. And it's one of the most profound ways to achieve lasting calm because it changes who you believe yourself to be at the deepest level. Most people try to act calm while still identifying as someone who gets stressed, overwhelmed, or reactive. But when you shift your core identity to someone who is naturally calm and composed, the external techniques become unnecessary because calm behavior flows automatically from your self-concept. Here's how identity governs behavior. Your actions are always consistent with who you believe yourself to be. If you see yourself as someone who gets nervous during presentations, you'll unconsciously create that experience. If you see yourself as someone who loses their temper when frustrated, you'll find reasons to validate that identity. But if you genuinely see yourself as someone who remains composed under pressure, your subconscious mind will work to make your behavior match that identity. The identity shift method begins with consciously choosing who you want to be in challenging situations. Instead of saying I'm trying to be calmer, you start saying I am someone who stays calm under pressure. Instead of I hope I don't get nervous, you think I'm the kind of person who performs well when it matters. This isn't positive thinking or self-deception. It's consciously programming your self-concept to support the behaviors you want to develop. But here's the key to making identity shifts permanent. You must provide evidence to your subconscious mind that this new identity is true. Every time you choose a calm response over a reactive one, you're proving to yourself that you are indeed someone who stays composed. Every time you handle a difficult situation with grace, you're reinforcing your identity. As someone who thrives under pressure, the most effective way to build this evidence is through what I call identity anchoring moments. These are specific situations where you consciously choose to act according to your new identity rather than your old patterns. When someone cuts you off in traffic instead of reacting with anger, you choose calm because that's who you are now. When you receive criticism, instead of becoming defensive, you listen thoughtfully because that's what composed people do. Each time you act according to your new identity, especially in situations where you would have reacted differently in the past, you're literally rewiring your brain's understanding of who you are. Your subconscious mind notices this consistency and begins to expect calm responses from you. Eventually, staying composed becomes as automatic as any other aspect of your personality. Professional athletes use identity shifting constantly. They don't just train their bodies. They train their self-concept. They see themselves as clutch performers, as people who get better when the stakes are higher. This identity makes their performance under pressure feel natural rather than forced because they're simply being who they believe themselves to be. Advanced identity shifting includes what I call the future self-visualization. You spend time each day visualizing yourself as someone who has already mastered complete calm and composure. You see yourself handling every type of challenging situation with wisdom and grace. You experience what it feels like to be unshakable. You imagine how others see you and respond to your calm presence. This visualization creates a target identity that your subconscious mind works to achieve. The 20th technique is the preemptive calm strategy, which involves identifying your personal stress patterns and interrupting them before they build momentum. Most people react to stress after it's already overwhelming them. But the preemptive calm strategy teaches you to recognize the early warning signs of stress buildup and intervene before you lose your composure. Here's how to develop your preemptive calm strategy. First, you conduct what I call a stress pattern audit. You observe yourself for several weeks and identify the specific situations, times of day, types of people, or combinations of factors that consistently challenge your calm. You might notice that you get reactive when you're hungry and someone interrupts your work. You might realize that certain people consistently trigger defensive responses. You might discover that you lose composure when you're running late and unexpected problems arise. Once you've identified your stress patterns, you create specific preemptive interventions for each one. If hunger plus interruption equals reactivity, you might eat regular snacks and set boundaries around your focused work time. If certain people trigger defensiveness, you might use the power pause method before every interaction with them. If time pressure plus unexpected problems equals overwhelm, you might build buffer time into your schedule and practice the instant reset technique during routine delays. The power of the preemptive calm strategy is that it prevents stress reactions rather than trying to manage them after they've already started. It's much easier to maintain calm than it is to recover calm once you've lost it. By interrupting your stress patterns early, you maintain access to your best thinking and decision-making abilities throughout the day. Advanced preemptive calm includes developing what I call environmental design for calm. You structure your physical and social environment to support composure rather than stress. This might mean organizing your workspace to reduce frustration, choosing routes that avoid traffic stress, or limiting time with people who consistently drain your energy. You're not avoiding challenges, you're eliminating unnecessary sources of stress so you can handle the important challenges with full resources. Professional high performers understand environmental design intuitively. They don't rely solely on willpower to maintain peak performance. They create conditions that make peak performance more likely. They understand that small environmental factors can have large cumulative effects on stress levels and emotional regulation. The preemptive calm strategy also includes what I call stress inoculation scheduling. Instead of letting stress hit you randomly throughout the day, you deliberately schedule challenging tasks during times when your energy and composure are naturally highest. You batch similar stressful activities together so you can handle them efficiently rather than having them scattered throughout your day creating constant low-level stress. The combination of the identity shift method and the preemptive calm strategy addresses both the internal and external aspects of mastering calm. The identity shift changes how you see yourself while the preemptive strategy changes how you structure your life to support composure. Together they create a comprehensive system that makes calm your default state rather than something you have to work to maintain. Chapter 12. The Ultimate Mastery Technique and the Calm Leadership Principle. The 21st and final technique is what I call the Ultimate Mastery Technique and it represents the highest level of calm development. This technique goes beyond managing your own emotional state to actually using your calm presence to improve situations and help other people perform better. When you master this technique, you become a source of stability and wisdom that others naturally turn to during challenging times. The Ultimate Mastery Technique is based on understanding that true calm is not a personal achievement, but a gift you give to everyone around you. When you remain composed during chaos, you're not just protecting yourself from stress, you're providing a model of how to handle difficulty with grace. When you stay strategic during emotional situations, you're not just making better decisions for yourself, you're helping others think more clearly, too. Here's how the Ultimate Mastery Technique works in practice. When you enter any situation where people are stressed, overwhelmed or reactive, instead of focusing on protecting your own calm, you focus on bringing calm to the entire situation. You become what I call a calm anchor. Someone who provides stability that others can orient around. This doesn't mean you take responsibility for other people's emotions or try to fix everyone's problems. It means you maintain such solid composure that your presence naturally elevates the emotional tone of the environment. People unconsciously match the energy of the calmest person in the room. So when you embody unshakable calm, you're actually helping everyone else access their better thinking and decision-making abilities. The ultimate mastery technique includes several advanced components. First is what I call calm contagion. Just as anxiety and panic can spread through groups, calm and composure can also spread. But spreading calm requires more intentionality than spreading stress, because calm is harder to transmit than chaos. You must embody calm so completely and authentically that it becomes magnetic rather than just noticeable. Second is strategic calm communication. This means that everything you say and do is designed to bring out the best in other people rather than just expressing your own thoughts and feelings. You ask questions that help people think more clearly. You make observations that help people see situations more objectively. You offer perspectives that help people feel more capable and less overwhelmed. Third is what I call pressure absorption. In high-stress situations, instead of deflecting pressure or avoiding responsibility, you consciously absorb some of the stress from the environment so others can function better. This doesn't mean taking on stress unnecessarily, but it means being willing to handle more than your share of difficulty so that solutions can emerge. Professional leaders in crisis situations demonstrate the ultimate mastery technique constantly. They don't just stay calm for their own benefit. They create calm conditions that allow their entire team to perform optimally. They understand that their emotional state sets the tone for everyone else's performance and decision-making. The advanced version of this technique includes what I call calm mentorship. This is where you help other people develop their own calm capabilities rather than just relying on your calm presence. You teach by example, showing others how to handle challenging situations with grace. You ask questions that help people discover their own calm techniques. You create opportunities for others to practice composure in safe environments. But here's what makes this the ultimate mastery technique. It requires you to have so thoroughly developed your own calm that you can maintain it even while helping others develop theirs. You can't give what you don't have. You can't be a source of calm for others. If your own composure is fragile or inconsistent, this technique represents the culmination of all the previous techniques working together automatically. The second part of this final technique is the calm leadership principle, which is about understanding that true leadership is not about authority or control, but about the ability to remain strategically calm while helping others access their best capabilities. The calmest person in any group naturally becomes the person others look to for guidance regardless of official titles or positions. Calm leadership begins with recognizing that people follow those who can think clearly when they cannot. In crisis situations, people don't follow the loudest voice or the person with the most authority. They follow the person who seems most capable of navigating the difficulty successfully. That person is almost always the one who has maintained their composure and strategic thinking ability. Here's how to exercise calm leadership in any situation. First, you focus on solutions rather than problems. While others are discussing what's wrong or who's to blame, you're asking what needs to happen next and how to move forward effectively. Second, you ask the questions that others aren't thinking to ask because they're too caught up in emotional reactions. Third, you help people separate what they can control from what they cannot and focus their energy on the controllable factors. Calm leadership also means being willing to make decisions when others are paralyzed by uncertainty or overwhelmed by options. You don't make decisions arbitrarily or without input, but you provide direction when direction is needed. You're willing to take responsibility for outcomes when others are too afraid to act. Advanced calm leadership includes what I call situational calm adaptation. This means recognizing that different situations require different types of calm leadership. Sometimes you need to be more directive and decisive. Sometimes you need to be more supportive and encouraging. Sometimes you need to be more challenging and confrontational. But in all cases, you maintain your underlying composure while adapting your approach to what the situation requires. The ultimate mastery technique and the calm leadership principle represent the highest expression of all the calm techniques you've learned. They show that mastering calm is not ultimately about personal benefit. Although the personal benefits are enormous, it's about becoming someone who can help create better outcomes in any situation through the power of composed thinking and strategic action. When you reach this level of mastery, staying calm is no longer something you do. It's simply who you are. And who you are becomes a gift that improves every situation you enter and every person you interact with. Chapter 13. The Neuroscience of Permanent Calm and Advanced Pattern Integration. Understanding the neuroscience behind calm mastery gives you powerful insights into why these techniques work and how to accelerate your development. Your brain is constantly rewiring itself based on your repeated thoughts, emotions, and behaviors. Every time you choose a calm response over a reactive one, you're literally strengthening the neural pathways that support composure and weakening the pathways that create emotional reactivity. The key insight from neuroscience research is that your brain cannot distinguish between real experiences and vividly imagined ones. This is why mental rehearsal and visualization are so effective. When you repeatedly visualize yourself handling challenging situations with perfect calm, your brain creates the same neural pathways as if you had actually succeeded in those situations hundreds of times. You're essentially programming your nervous system for calm responses through strategic imagination. But here's what most people don't understand about neuroplasticity. The changes happen fastest when you combine new experiences with specific emotions and focused attention. Simply going through the motions of calm techniques won't create lasting change. You need to engage emotionally with your progress and pay careful attention to the improvements you're experiencing. This emotional engagement and focused attention accelerate the rewiring process dramatically. Advanced neuroscience applications include what I call conscious consolidation. After any situation where you successfully maintained your composure, you spend a few minutes consciously reviewing what you did well. You replay the experience in your mind, focusing on how good it felt to remain calm and strategic. You imagine yourself handling similar situations with the same composure in the future. This conscious consolidation helps your brain prioritize these new neural pathways over the old reactive patterns. The science also reveals why consistency is more important than intensity for developing permanent calm. Your brain strengthens pathways based on frequency of use, not on how dramatically you use them. This means that choosing calm responses consistently in low-stakes situations is more effective for long-term development than occasionally achieving perfect composure in high-stakes situations. Professional neuroscientists who study peak performance have discovered that the most effective way to rewire emotional responses is through what they call progressive challenge integration. You systematically expose yourself to increasingly challenging situations while maintaining your calm techniques. This builds both confidence and competence progressively, creating robust neural pathways that work under any conditions. The neuroscience research also explains why some calm techniques work better for certain people than others. Everyone's brain is unique based on genetics, experiences, and current neural patterns. The key is to identify which techniques create the strongest positive changes in your nervous system and focus on developing those while gradually expanding your toolkit. Advanced pattern integration takes this understanding and applies it systematically to accelerate your mastery. Instead of practicing techniques randomly or only when you remember, you create specific integration patterns that ensure consistent neural strengthening. Here's how advanced pattern integration works. First, you identify your daily calm anchors. These are specific times each day when you practice calm techniques regardless of whether you're facing any stress. Morning calm preparation, midday composure check-ins, and evening integration reviews create a foundation of neural strengthening that supports you during challenging situations. Second, you develop situational calm triggers. These are specific environmental cues that automatically remind you to activate your calm techniques. When you sit down at your computer, you automatically take 3 deep breaths. When you walk into a meeting room, you automatically activate the power pause method. When your phone rings, you automatically set your calm intention before answering. Third, you create challenge integration sessions. These are deliberate practice periods where you artificially create mild stress while maintaining your calm techniques. You might practice presentations while someone interrupts you or practice decision M while under time pressure. This controlled stress exposure accelerates your development because it creates the neural pathways needed for real-world success. Advanced pattern integration also includes what I call cross-situational calm transfer. This is where you consciously connect your calm successes across different areas of life. When you successfully stay calm during a work conflict, you remind yourself that this same composure is available during family disagreements. When you maintain composure during a traffic delay, you recognize that this same patience is available during project setbacks. The goal of advanced pattern integration is to create what neuroscientists call generalized calm competence. This means that your calm abilities automatically transfer to new situations without requiring conscious effort or technique selection. Your nervous system has been trained so thoroughly that composure becomes your default response to any form of stress or challenge. Professional development of any skill follows these same neuroscientific principles. Musicians don't just practice songs, they practice scales, techniques, and patterns that transfer to all their musical performance. Athletes don't just practice their sport, they practice fundamental movements and mental skills that enhance all aspects of their athletic performance. Your calm development should follow the same comprehensive approach. The combination of neuroscience understanding and advanced pattern integration ensures that your calm mastery becomes permanent rather than temporary. You're not just learning techniques to use occasionally. You're rewiring your brain to make calm responses automatic and effortless in any situation. Chapter 14. The 30-Day Calm Transformation System and Mastery Acceleration Protocols. The 30-Day Calm Transformation System gives you a specific day-by-day plan for integrating all these techniques into your life and achieving remarkable results in just 1 month. This isn't about becoming perfect in 30 days. It's about establishing the patterns and neural pathways that will continue strengthening for years to come. The system is designed based on how long it takes to create new habits and how to structure practice for maximum effectiveness. Here's how the 30-day system works. The first week focuses on foundation building. You establish the basic techniques that form the foundation of all calm mastery. The instant reset, power pause method, and basic breathing control. You practice these techniques multiple times every day in low-stakes situations. The goal is not perfection, but consistency. You want these foundational techniques to become as automatic as checking your phone or brushing your teeth. During week 1, you also begin the identity shift process by consciously adopting the internal language of someone who is naturally calm. Instead of saying, "I'm trying to be calmer," you start saying, "I am someone who stays composed under pressure." You look for evidence of this new identity by celebrating every small victory where you choose a calm response over a reactive one. The second week focuses on stress pattern interruption. You implement the emotional firewall technique and perspective shift strategy while identifying your personal stress triggers and developing specific interventions for each one. This is where you begin to see dramatic results because you're preventing stress reactions rather than just managing them after they occur. Week 2 also includes the beginning of stress inoculation training. You deliberately seek out mildly challenging situations to practice your techniques. If you typically avoid difficult conversations, you initiate one while using your calm techniques. If you normally get stressed about time pressure, you create artificial deadlines to practice working calmly under pressure. The third week focuses on social calm mastery. You implement the verbal de-escalation method, strategic silence technique, and emotional Aikido system in your interactions with others. This is often the most transformative week because you discover that you can remain calm even when other people are being difficult or emotional. You start becoming someone others turn to for stability and wisdom. Week 3 also includes advanced breathing and physical grounding practices. You learn to use your breath and body to maintain composure during increasingly challenging situations. You practice the combat breathing technique before important meetings and use physical grounding during any moment of overwhelm. The fourth week focuses on integration and leadership. You implement the ultimate mastery technique by consciously bringing calm to situations rather than just maintaining your own composure. You practice the high-stakes decision matrix during important choices and use the pressure performance protocol during challenging situations. Week 4 is also when you develop your personal mastery acceleration protocols. These are customized practices based on your specific challenges and the techniques that work best for your nervous system and lifestyle. Not everyone needs the same level of every technique, so you create a personalized system that maximizes your progress with minimum effort. The mastery acceleration protocols include several advanced strategies. First is intensive calm immersion. You choose one day each week to focus entirely on calm practice. During this day, you use every opportunity as a chance to practice your techniques. Traffic becomes a breathing practice opportunity. Difficult people become chances to practice emotional ayesido. Time pressure becomes an opportunity to practice the pressure performance protocol. Second is what I call calm mentorship development. You begin teaching these techniques to others, which dramatically accelerates your own mastery. Teaching forces you to understand the techniques at a deeper level and gives you additional practice opportunities. You might help a family member develop breathing techniques or show a colleague how to use the power pause method. Third is challenge-seeking behavior. Instead of avoiding stressful situations, you begin consciously seeking appropriate challenges to test and develop your calm abilities. You volunteer for presentations, take on leadership roles in difficult projects, or offer to mediate conflicts between others. This accelerates your development because you're getting more high-quality practice opportunities. Advanced mastery acceleration also includes what I call the calm tracking system. You keep detailed records of your calm successes and areas for improvement. You note which techniques work best in different situations and which types of challenges still require development. This systematic tracking allows you to optimize your practice for maximum results with minimum time investment. The tracking system includes both quantitative and qualitative measurements. Quantitatively, you might rate your average daily calm level from 1 to 10. Track how many times you successfully use techniques instead of reacting emotionally, or measure how long it takes you to recover composure after challenging situations. Qualitatively, you note improvements in your relationships, work performance, decision-making quality, and overall life satisfaction. You observe how others respond to your increased composure and leadership. You pay attention to opportunities that arise because people see you as someone who can handle responsibility and pressure. The final component of the mastery acceleration protocols is developing your long-term mastery vision. You create a clear picture of who you want to become. As you continue developing these skills, do you want to become someone who can handle any crisis with grace? Do you want to be a leader others turn to during difficult times? Do you want to be someone who helps create calm and productive environments wherever you go? This long-term vision pulls you forward and motivates consistent practice even when progress seems slow. It helps you see calm mastery not as a temporary project but as a lifelong journey of development that will serve you and others for decades to come. Chapter 15. The transformation and your new life of unshakable calm. As you implement these 21 techniques and complete the 30-day transformation system, you will notice changes that go far beyond just feeling calmer. You are literally becoming a different person. Someone who approaches life from a position of strength rather than reactivity. Someone who creates solutions rather than drama. Someone who inspires confidence rather than anxiety in others. The first transformation you'll notice is in your decision-making quality. When you're not driven by emotional reactions, you make choices based on logic, long-term thinking, and strategic considerations. You stop making decisions you later regret because you're no longer deciding while angry, anxious, or overwhelmed. This improvement in decision-making alone will change the trajectory of your career, relationships, and personal development. The second major transformation is in how others perceive and respond to you. People naturally gravitate toward those who remain composed under pressure. They trust the judgment of those who don't panic during crisis. They want to work with, promote, and rely on those who can handle responsibility without becoming overwhelmed. Your increased calm will create opportunities that were never available when you were reactive and stressed. You'll notice that people start coming to you for advice during difficult situations. They'll seek your opinion before making important decisions. They'll want you on their team during challenging projects. This happens because calm is rare, and when people find someone who embodies it authentically, they recognize its value immediately. The third transformation is in your stress, tolerance, and resilience. Situations that once felt overwhelming will seem manageable. Problems that used to keep you awake at night will feel like interesting puzzles to solve. Criticism that once felt devastating will become useful information for improvement. You'll realize that most of what you used to call stress was actually your own emotional reaction to neutral circumstances. This increased resilience creates a positive spiral in your life because you can handle more pressure without breaking down. People give you more responsibilities and opportunities because you make better decisions under pressure. You create better outcomes and more success because you remain strategic during conflicts. You build stronger relationships and resolve problems more effectively. The fourth transformation is in your energy levels and life satisfaction. When you're not wasting energy on emotional reactions, worry, and stress, you have dramatically more resources available for productive activities and enjoyment. You'll find that you have more energy at the end of challenging days because you're not exhausting yourself with reactive emotions. You'll also discover that life becomes more interesting when you're not constantly stressed about it. Problems become puzzles. Conflicts become opportunities to practice your skills. Challenges become chances to demonstrate your capabilities. This shift in perspective makes difficult experiences far more manageable and sometimes even enjoyable. The fifth transformation is what I call automatic wisdom. After practicing these techniques consistently, you'll find that you naturally respond to situations in ways that your former self would have considered remarkably wise and mature. You won't have to think about staying calm. You'll just naturally choose strategic responses over emotional reactions. This automatic wisdom means that you become someone who consistently makes good choices even in difficult circumstances. You become someone who can be trusted with important responsibilities because others know you won't crack under pressure. You become someone who creates positive outcomes even in negative situations because you maintain access to your best thinking regardless of external circumstances. But perhaps the most profound transformation is what I call calm confidence. This isn't confidence based on hoping that everything will go well. It's confidence based on knowing that you can handle whatever happens. You're not afraid of challenges because you know you have the skills to navigate them successfully. You're not afraid of failure because you know you can learn from it and adapt. This type of confidence is unshakable because it's not dependent on external circumstances. It doesn't matter if the economy crashes, if your industry changes, if relationships end, or if unexpected problems arise. You know that your ability to think clearly and respond strategically will serve you regardless of what life presents. The calm confidence that comes from mastering these techniques also includes what I call fearless authenticity. When you're not reactive and defensive, you can be genuinely yourself in all situations. You don't need to pretend to be someone else to gain approval because you're not desperately seeking approval in the first place. You can express your true thoughts and feelings because you're not afraid of how others might react. This authenticity combined with your calm presence makes you incredibly magnetic. People are drawn to those who are genuinely comfortable in their own skin and who don't need constant validation or reassurance. They want to be around those who create calm, positive energy rather than drama and stress. As you continue developing these skills beyond the initial 30 days, you'll find that your calm mastery becomes a foundation for achieving any other goal you set. Whether you want to advance in your career, improve your relationships, develop new skills, or create positive changes in the world, your ability to remain composed and strategic gives you enormous advantages in all these areas. The person you become through mastering calm is someone who creates value wherever you go. You solve problems that stress out others. You provide stability during uncertainty. You make wise decisions when others are paralyzed by indecision. You inspire confidence when others are overwhelmed by doubt. This is not just a personal achievement. It's a contribution to everyone whose life you touch. Let me paint a specific picture of what your life looks like 1 year from now after implementing these techniques consistently. In your career, you're the person everyone wants on their team during challenging projects. When crises arise, instead of panicking like your colleagues, you're asking the right questions and identifying solutions. Your boss notices that you handle criticism constructively rather than defensively. So, you're given more responsibilities and opportunities for advancement. Clients specifically request to work with you because they feel confident and reassured in your presence. In your relationships, you've become someone people can depend on for emotional stability. When your family faces difficulties, you're the one who helps everyone stay focused on solutions rather than getting lost in drama. Your children learn emotional regulation by watching your example. Your romantic relationships deepen because you can discuss difficult topics without becoming reactive or defensive. Friends seek your advice because they know you'll listen without judgment and offer perspective without being preachy. 5 years from now, the compound effect of your calm mastery has created opportunities you couldn't have imagined. You've likely advanced in your career beyond what would have been possible with your old reactive patterns. You've built stronger relationships because people trust your emotional stability. You've made better financial decisions because you weren't driven by fear or greed. You've maintained better health because you weren't constantly stressed and making poor choices when overwhelmed. 10 years from now, you'll look back and realize that mastering calm wasn't just about feeling better in the moment. It was about becoming someone capable of handling whatever life presents. The teenager who learns these techniques avoids years of unnecessary drama and poor decisions. The professional who masters calm advances faster and builds stronger networks. The parent who embodies composure raises more confident, resilient children. The leader who maintains perspective during crisis creates better outcomes for everyone they influence. But here's what makes this transformation even more powerful. You're joining an incredibly small percentage of the population who have developed this level of emotional mastery. Most people will spend their entire lives being controlled by their emotional reactions. They'll make poor decisions when angry, miss opportunities when anxious, and damage relationships when overwhelmed. They'll wonder why successful people seem to have such good judgment, and why some individuals seem naturally suited for leadership and responsibility. You'll know the secret. It's not that successful people don't face stress or challenges. It's that they've trained themselves to remain strategically calm regardless of external circumstances. They've developed the ability to think clearly when others cannot. They've learned to see opportunities where others see only problems. They've mastered the art of choosing their responses rather than being controlled by their reactions. This calm mastery becomes your ultimate competitive advantage in every area of life. In business, while others are making emotional decisions that they later regret, you're making strategic choices based on clear thinking. In relationships, while others are creating drama and conflict through reactive behavior, you're building deeper connections through thoughtful communication. In parenting, while others are raising children who learn to be reactive and dramatic, you're modeling emotional maturity and resilience. The ripple effect of your transformation extends far beyond your personal life. Your calm presence influences everyone you interact with. Your colleagues become more composed because your energy is contagious. Your family members learn better emotional regulation because they observe your example daily. Your friends make better decisions because they have access to your clear thinking during their difficult moments years from now. You might not even remember what it felt like to be controlled by stress and emotional reactions. Your new patterns will have become so automatic that staying calm feels as natural as breathing. You'll handle crises that would have devastated your former self with complete composure. You'll make decisions that your old self would have considered impossibly wise and mature. You'll create outcomes that your reactive version never could have achieved. This is the compound effect of emotional mastery. Small daily choices to remain calm rather than reactive create massive long-term advantages. Each time you choose strategy over emotion, you're not just handling that moment better. You're building neural pathways that make strategic thinking your default response. Each time you help someone else stay calm, you're not just improving that interaction. You're becoming someone others naturally turn to for leadership and guidance. Your journey to mastering calm is ultimately about becoming the highest version of yourself. It's about developing the mental and emotional strength to handle any challenge life presents while maintaining your values, relationships, and sense of purpose. It's about becoming someone who doesn't just survive difficult times, but who helps others thrive during them as well. The 21 techniques in this audiobook are not just stress management tools. They are life mastery tools. They give you the ability to remain strategic when others are reactive, to see opportunities when others see only problems, and to create positive outcomes even in negative circumstances. Most importantly, they give you the power to choose your response to any situation, which is the ultimate form of personal freedom and strength. But remember this: knowledge without implementation is worthless. You can understand every technique in this audiobook perfectly and still remain exactly where you are if you don't consistently apply them. The transformation happens through practice, not through understanding. Your future self, the one who has mastered unshakable calm, is not created by good intentions or perfect plans. That person is created by daily choices to practice these techniques even when you don't feel like it. Especially when you don't feel like it. You now have everything you need to transform from someone who is controlled by circumstances into someone who maintains control regardless of circumstances. The question is not whether these techniques will work. The question is whether you will consistently apply them until they become automatic. Your future self, the one who has mastered unshakable calm, is waiting for you to begin this transformation today.